Tonight, we began a new preaching series on Wednesday night entitled, I Choose. I Choose. And we don't have the overhead working. We're changing out the graphics card. We've been having some problems with it. And so you just have to pull out your Bible and turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy and also the book of Joshua. Deuteronomy and the book of Joshua, they're kind of right there together. But over the next several weeks and months, we're going to be talking to you about the power of your choices. And we're going to cover I Choose prayer. That's what the pastor's going to be doing over the next Wednesdays to preach. I Choose faith. We're going to talk about I Choose joy. We're going to talk about I Choose forgiveness. And there's one I'd like to throw in there with the pastor, if he'll allow me to do that. I Choose vision. Paul said, I will come to vision. That's exactly. So I want to talk that night about remind us about the vision we have here, a loving, growing church, bringing her. We're not going to do it over several Wednesdays, but hit them all in that one message. I choose ministry because there's a lot of people who are saved and they're sitting. And so we have to choose to minister. God has so much to be done. Laborers are few. I choose soul winning. I want to preach one Wednesday night about leading people to Jesus. And brother, Pastor Latham is a soul winner. This man will talk to people. I've seen him in action. He doesn't just preach in a pulpit, but he goes out into the streets and the highways and he tells people about Jesus. But tonight, I want to talk about making the right choices. Say that with me. Making the right choice. So this is kind of foundational to the series. And I want to start out by making this statement. You are free to choose, but you are not free to choose the consequences of your choice. I repeat, you are free to choose, but you are not free to choose the consequences of your choice. You choose, and then your choice chooses you. Amen. Would you stand with me tonight and turn to the book of Deuteronomy and also the book of Joshua as we read two passages of Scripture. And the title of the message tonight is Making Right Choices. And our series is I Choose. Say that, I Choose. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19. If you're there, say amen. Wow, we're hearing those Bibles turn. That's good. We don't hear that a lot because of the overhead projector. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Turn around and see if your neighbor's got it. I did this in the old days. You got it? You got it? It says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both thou and your seed may live. Now flip over to Joshua chapter 24, this great scripture. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. I'll give you just a moment to find it. Joshua 24 and verse 15. Falcon Camp meeting is coming up. I encourage you to be there. It's going to be great services. We'll do next week. Sunday night through Wednesday night, Terry Whittington will be preaching here Sunday morning. So we know we're going to have some great events lined up. Joshua 24 and verse 15, if you're there, say amen. Turn around and see if everybody's got it. Just check and see if your neighbor's got it. All right. You ready? Let's go. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served, which were on the other side, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. Say that last part with me. Everybody, read. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Father, anoint your servant to speak the word of God, and we'll give you praise tonight. May I decrease, and may you increase. Make this to be a message for every person here tonight, and we'll give you the praise for it. Everybody said amen. Turn around and tell somebody, I am blessed and highly favored of God. I am blessed beyond the curse, for his promise will endure, that his joy is going to be my strength. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Now, I'm not a big country music fan. I'm not against country music. I like it. I love Alabama. I mean, it was one of my favorite groups back in the day. Country music songs, the old style country music songs, even some of the new ones, have a unique way of presenting life's problems. Here's some actual country music songs. The actual title and lyrics. You can't roller skate in a buffalo herd. Here's another one. Thank God and Greyhound that she's gone. How can I miss you if you won't go away? Some problems there. Amen. I fell in a pile of you and got love all over me. In fact, I told Darnell that the other night. Amen. Here's a good one. I keep forgetting that I forgot about you. Amen. If love were oil, I'd be a quart low. Now, here's my favorite one. If the phone don't ring, baby, you'll know it's me. Now, I tell you, that's... But how do you remember, he's passed away now, but he, classic country, old George Jones. You ever remember him? You ever heard any of his songs? And he had those cheating and drinking songs. And the truth of the matter is, George Jones actually had a drinking problem of his own in real life. It was no secret. In fact, on March the 6th, 1999, country music fans were horrified to hear that he was critically injured when he crashed his expensive Lexus into a bridge in Nashville, Tennessee. The investigation showed that George Jones had been drunk at the wheel, driving impaired. And thankfully, at that time, he recovered. Now, he's since passed away. And 2 months later, after that incident, He cut a new album, and the title of the album back then was called Cold Hard Truth. And the hit song of that album is what I want to kind of highlight. The hit song of that album was a song called Choices. And the line of that song says, I'm living and dying with the choices I make. Now, I've got that song. I've got it on MP3 on my computer. But how many of you ever heard that song, Choices? I'm living and dying. Raise your hand if you have no clue what I'm talking about. I know all of you are sanctified people out there. So, but heaven's just a sin away. Yeah. But I'm living and dying with the choices. And the truth of the matter is that he's right. We are living and dying with the choices that we make. And that's what Deuteronomy says. It says, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. We have a choice. This is what we've been talking about. I choose. Say that with me. I choose. And we will be living and dying with the choices. If we want victory, if we want blessing, if we want the favor of God, if we want revival, if we need answers to prayer, if we need help and hope and strength, if we need anything in life that God has promised us, I promise you, it is through the choices that we make. He's already decided to bless. He's already decided to heal. He's already decided to turn it around. We got to make the choice to believe. We got to make the choice to forgive. We got to make the choice to pray. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I choose faith. I choose the blessing. I choose the favor of God. I choose to rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Give the Lord a hand of praise tonight. Thank God we're living by the choices we make. Amen. Say that with me. I choose. I'm going to give you 3 points tonight. First of all, the provision of the ability to choose. Did you know free choice is a gift? Be very careful with that gift. You see, choice is a powerful thing. Now, there are different kinds of choices. There are micro decisions that we make every day. You know, the toothpaste we choose at Walmart. I mean, that's a micro decision. Unless you're married and your wife doesn't want that type of toothpaste. And it's a macro decision. So don't make a micro into a macro. You'll be living and dying by the choices you make in your marriage. Amen. A certain Dr. Eric Klinger did a study at the University of Minnesota. He determined that, listen to this, all of us face somewhere, but listen to this, between 300 and 17,000 decisions every day. A doctor studied this. I would have never thought that many. But from the time we get up to the time we go to bed, between 300 to 17,000 decisions. Now, a lot of those are subconscious. They're not the kind of decisions that a lot of us don't even think about. There are two ink pens at the desk and we decide to use the blue one. We decide what response we're going to give to a question. We decide what clothes to wear. We approach an intersection and the traffic light is yellow. And we decide to slow down or we decide to live by faith. Amen. But not only are there micro decisions, there are macro decisions. And these are the decisions that literally affect our destiny and even our eternity. Choices like, will I have an affair with that young person that I'm talking with on my job? Will I go to church this Sunday or not, or stay home and sleep in? Will I be saved? How will I spend my money? Excuse me. Incorrect. How will I spend the Lord's money? Well, I gave tithe to God and the rest of it's mine. I'm sorry. All of it belongs to God. Amen, somebody. Who will be my mate if you're single? What is my mission? Who will be my master? These are macro decisions that are very important. That's why we're preaching on I Choose, because we've got some decisions to make. And it doesn't stop when we're mature in the Lord. As we're going to see in the rest of this message, these decisions will take us right on through to glory land. And we must acknowledge that God has given us this awesome responsibility to choose. We can use it or abuse it. We can be blessed or we can be blasted. We can go to heaven or we can find our way to hell. We will live and die by the choices we make. Can you say amen? Now go back to the Garden of Eden. And that's where God put man into the garden. And God made man for this very reason. He wanted a creation that would serve him because they chose to serve him. Not were forced or made to serve him. Amen. Yes, he did. And man had everything at his fingertips. He had freedom. In the garden, he had the very presence of God, Adam and Eve. But in the midst of the garden, God said, there's one tree that I don't want you to touch. It was there, really. It didn't matter if it was an apple. It didn't matter what fruit. People say it was an apple. The Bible doesn't make it clear. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what tree it was. People get all the time. It's just the fact that it represented, will you choose me or will you not choose me? It was a choice. And somebody said that Adam actually ate us out of house and home. Can I get a witness out of there? Adam and Eve, let me tell you something. We know the rest of the story. We know the choice that they made. And literally, we've been living and dying as a result of the choice that they made. And we have that ability. If you're saved, if you want to be saved, you have a choice. If you want to be a good father, you have a choice. If you want to be a bad father, you have a choice. If you want to be hooked on drugs, you have a choice. If you want a great marriage, you have a choice. If you don't want a great marriage, you have a choice. If you want to serve in ministry, you have a choice. We can't force you to do it. If you want to tithe, you have a choice. We have the potential of, we have the provision of the ability to choose. And so let's make sure that we choose correctly. And everybody said amen. Because this brings me to point two. Not only do we have the provision of the ability to choose, and I slipped up and said it, but we have the potential of those choices that we make. Because when we make a choice, really that choice turns around and makes us. I'm going to say that in a moment. You are the sum of your choice. Well, I'm extremely unhealthy and overweight. You made a choice. And Lord, I thought I was going to Cracker Barrel after church and eat some biscuits, but I've made a choice and now the choice is making me. Can I get a witness? Our choices are not just random. They affect not just the moment. They have repercussions to others, to time to come. Our destiny, our eternity. Let's talk negatively speaking on negative potential of choices. And how many of you will admit, and you don't have to raise your hand, but we've all made some bad choices in our life. I mean, really, we all have. And we've all made some dumb decisions in our life. I'm just telling you, we all have. I did a little research and came across some people who made some very dumb, very bad decisions that affected the rest of their life. And here's some of them. And this will probably make you feel a little bit better. But Sam Phillips, he sold a recording company to RCA in 1955 for $35,000. It included an exclusive contract with an unknown young man by the name of Elvis Presley. That was a dumb decision. He got $35,000, but lost millions upon millions. Tom Selleck. Some of you may watch Blue Bloods on Friday night. Some of you remember Magnum P.I. Tom Selleck, one of the great actors. I did not know this, but he was offered to play Indiana Jones. And he turned it down. He never did break out into the movies, but that would have helped him. Harrison Ford took it, by the way. And the rest is history. In Germany, a bank robber pulls out a gun and demands money. The teller says, very quickly, thinking on her feet, she needed to see his ID. And he gets it out and takes the cash and leaves the ID behind. Now, here's a real dumb decision. Turned out to be dumb. Bill Gates was dating this young lady. It's true. And he loved her. He wanted to, I guess, be with her. And she turned him down. And she, according to what I found here, backing up here, she said to Bill Gates, "It's either the computer or me." Well, he chose the computer. And we never heard from her after that. Can you say amen? They're negative choices filled with so much potential. What about the choice to smoke? I understand that when a person smokes a cigarette, that for every inhale, that's 14 minutes off of the average lifespan. The decision to drink, and oh, we have gotten to the place now where it's now okay. Preachers gather together, certain preachers drink and alcohol, vodka, a shot of whiskey, beer, Miller Lite, all of that. Oh, it's okay. We're not legalism. You are living and dying with the choices you make. And I recommend strongly that the choice concerning alcohol is to abstain from it. Can I get a witness? There is not any positive effect that alcohol has on the human body. It is a toxin, and it is not. People say that Jesus turned the water into wine. Well, let me just say something. Fill your glass up with water, have a prayer, and if he turns it into wine, go ahead and drink it. Other than that, stay away from it. That was a weak amen out there. Drinking wine is a mocker, and strong drinking is not wise, and whosoever partakes thereof is not wise. Say, people choose to do drugs. People choose to do drugs, and sometimes they get hooked on medical drugs that are prescription drugs and things of that nature. That's why we strongly preach and strongly believe in the laying on of hands and the anointing of the oil and the prayer of faith. And so God doesn't want you to be hooked on prescription drugs too. If you need them for maintenance, that's one thing. But if you're hooked on them and they cause side effects and you're wanting more and doctor shopping or illegal drugs, if you make that choice makes you. Then we have people that choose to quit church for whatever reason. I don't go to church. Why not? There's too many hypocrites in the church. And you know where I see you at? I see you at Food Line. I see you at Walmart. I even see you at Best Buy. Well, guess what's at Best Buy? I know that because I work there. There's hypocrites at Best Buy. I promise you. There's hypocrites at Food Line. I promise you. So you'll go to the grocery store with them. You'll go to Best Buy with them. And you'll go to the ballpark with them with your little kid that you ought to have in church. Instead, you're out there on the ballpark. You'll go everywhere with hypocrites, but to the church that has hypocrites. Of all places for hypocrites to be, shouldn't it be in church where the word of God is preached and where lives can be changed? Actually, you're the one that's the hypocrite. and you're making a bad, bad choice. The Bible says, and I know I'm preaching to a Wednesday night crowd, but I feel inspired tonight. The Bible still says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as you see the day approaching. Folks, the signs of the times are everywhere. The mark of the beast, there's chips, computer chips. The clock is ticking. Jesus is returning. The wickedness is getting worse. We need to win souls, and we need to be in the house of the Lord. Sunday, it ought not to be a question of if. It ought to be a choice. We are going to gather. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord, and skipping two or three Sundays in a row and just being nonchalant about it is a bad choice that you're making. Amen. Well, you're a preacher. You're paid to be at church. Let me tell you something. I will pay to go to church. If there was an admission charge, I would fork it out. I would buy a subscription to it. I would sell in order to be in God's house, because what I'm getting will be far greater than whatever sacrifice I make to be in the Lord's house. Can you give the Lord a hand of praise? Don't quit church. Don't quit church because of some bad preachers and some bad deacons. And don't quit church because somebody hurt my feelings and didn't shake my hand and all of that. And I'm telling you, and Pastor Jerry, you and I both, and Pastor Latham, we are been pastored for many, between the three of us, many decades. And I promise you, no matter what church it is, no matter if it's in a Hosky or Smyrna or Wilson, there's always the certain people, they just don't get committed to church. And as soon as something happens, they're out. Come on, you're making a bad choice. I'm going to move on. We make a choice to gossip. Gossip. Here's my definition. If I say anything about you that I would not say to you, then I have gossiped. You know why I like to say gossip? Because it sounds like the snake. The old long wagging tongue, just like a forked tongue snake trying to sow seeds of innuendo and doubt, pessimism, and running down the man of God and the work of God. And I'll tell you, it is not the gay agenda that has stopped a lot of our Pentecostal holiness churches. It's not homosexuals that stopped a lot of our Pentecostal holiness churches. It's not the Supreme Court that has stopped a lot of our Pentecostal holiness churches. It's those gossips that run their mouth and are critical, that have made bad choices, that has stopped many a church and split many a church. Oh God, help us to make a choice to bless people and speak well and speak the truth in love and not say anything about somebody we wouldn't say to somebody with the Lord's help. Amen. Hallelujah. Then the worst decision of all is not to be saved. Well, let me, before I go to that one, we have a choice about ministry, a choice about witnessing. And you have to choose to be a witness. We have to choose to share our faith. Sometimes we get a little afraid, a little intimidated. But the greatest negative choice we can make is a choice not to be saved. Then there's positive choices. I said negative choices, but let's talk about the potential of positive choices. One of the great positive choices we can make is to pray. Amen. Don't you love prayer? Don't you believe there's power in prayer? Amen. Thank the Lord for prayer. One of the greatest things that you can do is make a choice to pray about things. Pray about things before you make it. While you're making, and that's part of my closing, so I'm jumping ahead. But prayer is a great choice. Say amen. To have a great attitude, to choose to be forgiving, to choose to be, to forgive those who've hurt you, to choose to trust God when you don't understand. Faith is a choice. Somebody say, I choose. Faith. Sometimes we have to choose faith. It don't look right. It don't feel right. But by faith, and I'm making a solid choice, and I'm going to tell you how to make those choices, I choose forgiveness. Just going to forgive people. Amen. When somebody gets out with you, just go make it right. Amen. Just go make it right. I don't know what they're all upset about. You know what? We're sorry. We'll make it right. Amen. You remember the old show Happy Days? Happy Days had a character on there by the name of the Fonz. And he was Mr. Cooler Ruler. Now, I know this young lady about here sitting beside Brother Bill, she don't remember Happy. Do you remember Happy Day? You don't remember it, do you? You do? Okay. But he used to come out and with his thumbs, he'd go, hey, you remember that? But you may not remember this. I remember it, but you may not. A lot of people don't remember it. But there was one word he had the hardest time saying, and it was, he would have the hardest time saying, I'm sorry. And he'd go, it was so uncool for him to say, I'm sorry. Why don't we just practice right now? So turn around and tell somebody, if you're married, even just say, I'm sorry. Amen. Forgive me. That's a positive choice. Positive. Amen. Well, you don't know what I'm facing on my job. And I tell you, I work with the hardest people in all the world. And blah, 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 blah. And I used to preach this, but now I live it. I stepped back into the workforce 3 years ago. And I'll tell you what. If I thought like that, boy, I'm like, them people I work with, and those managers and those customers, and blah, 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 blah. I'm gonna just go find me another job. Well, guess what? You find another job, and guess what? You're gonna have probably the same stuff. Amen. It just is. That's just the way it is. We need Jesus. Can be the same way with churches. Now, I'm an older minister now. But when I was younger, I'd be like, I'll just find another church and go pastor. And I did. And I found out the same person that I dealt with at church A was almost identical at church B. I've just learned those. God ain't worried about changing your geography. He's worried about changing your heart. Amen. Now, there are times when you need to move, times when God sovereignly moves, times when God opens a door for another job and a promotion. That's one thing. But make the right choice. Praise God. I'm going to make the best with what I got. This is where I'm at. And let's just roll our sleeves up and let's choose to believe the Lord. Let's choose to walk by faith. Let's choose to praise God coming in and going out. And I'll tell you, you watch the blessing of God just sweep down because he's honored by the choices when we choose him and his will. Say amen. Give him another hand of praise tonight. Oh, I choose to praise you, Lord. In fact, Billy Graham, I mentioned this and I wish I had a picture, but we all know the great evangelist Billy Graham that just passed away. And I saw that in the bookstore in Goldsboro has a real thick book on it. I want to read that because I did read his biography. It is about that thick, but it was, it took me a while, but I promise you I devoured every page and I didn't know this, but Billy Graham, I've been a big Winston Churchill fan and I used to think about, man, I wish Winston Churchill had gotten saved, you know, because I don't know if he really was saved. But in Billy Graham's biography, he led Winston Churchill to the Lord before he died. I'm like, praise God. That's big stuff. He was a soul winner. He met him in Downing Street, 10 Downing Street, and brought up salvation. Now, he doesn't have to preach to 50,000. He's just one person, and he leads him to the Lord. Amen. But there's another Billy Graham that you probably have never heard of. You probably never met. His name is Billy Graham. He's not the evangelist. He is a living, breathing human. He lives in Mobile, Alabama. And I don't know, Pastor Latham, if you ever heard of him, but he was born with muscular dystrophy. His name was Billy Graham. He was born blind. At birth, they only gave him 8 years to live. He's not the renowned evangelist. This Billy Graham is much lesser known, but he's just as significant of an evangelist. What do you mean? Because he was about 20 years ago, I'm not sure today, he may have passed away, but 20 years ago at that time, he was the pastor of evangelism at North Mobile Baptist Church in Mobile, Alabama. And he was an evangelism explosion clinic teacher. During his first semester as an EET teacher, Billy Graham took he took teens out 5 nights a week. He had every excuse not to share the gospel, but he did it every day. Why? Because he made a choice. And this other Billy Graham despite his blindness, despite his muscular dystrophy, said, you know what? God can still use me. Let me tell you, friend, God can use you. You say, well, I have failed. I have messed up. And Pastor and I were talking about sometimes ministers mess up and mess up bad. What are we going to do? I tell you what we can do. We can make a choice. Ye that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering your own self, lest you also fall. That's Galatians chapter 6. We got to make a choice not to hold grudges. We got to make a choice. By the way, the forgiveness you withhold may be the forgiveness you need. Have an easy to forgive choice, and God will bless you. Can you say amen? That's the provision of the ability to choose, the potential, and now finally the path. So how do you make the right choices? And we're going to be addressing this over the next few weeks, next few months. We may, this type of series can go on and on and on. Somebody said on our Storms of Life series that there was a lot of storms, lasted a long, long time. I ain't going to tell you who said it, but he was sitting in the back. I think he stepped out. How do you make the right choices? You want to know? I'm going to give you a favor. You want to write these down? Write these down. Number one, make a word decision. I put the word quote. Make a word, a Bible decision. When it comes to the important decisions of your life, quite simply this, what does the Bible say? Don't make a decision based on how you feel. In fact, I've got a sermon I preached, Something More Than Feelings. You know, feelings, nothing more than feelings. Now, I know some of you younger people don't remember that song, but back in the 70s, there was a famous song, Feelings, Nothing More Than Feelings. Man, it just make you cry just hearing that song. Was it Barbara Streisand that sang that? It wasn't? I thought it was her, but I preached a sermon called Something More Than Feelings. And I talked about where Abraham, Isaac, it was Esau and Jacob. And so Jacob put on this stuff to make his blind daddy think he was someone. And so here's Isaac. He's blind and he feels the hand of Jacob. And it feels like Esau, but it's really Jacob. And he's like, Are you sure do sound like Jacob? I'm Esau. Can't you feel it? Can't you feel it? And the point I tried to make is that so much changed when a man went by his feelings. Don't go by feelings. Don't go, well, how do you feel? I don't feel like going to church. I don't feel like going. And really think about this. The same people who say, I don't feel like I go to church this Sunday will not feel like going to work Monday, but they'll go. So make a word decision. Say that with me. Make a word decision. If you've been hurt, make a decision based on the word. If you're warned about tithing, make a decision based on the word. If you're sick, make a decision based on the word. I'll be healed. If it comes to worship, if it deals with your lost loved ones, in your marriage, in your business, make a word decision. If you're going to make more money, but here's an example. Well, I can make more money, but the problem is I'll never be able to be in church. Well, then you're making a decision to make more money and not what the Bible says. And I promise you, sometimes God will give you a test. And if you'll make the right decision, you'll go to church and make more money. You want to ask the guys that own Chick-fil-A? Do you want to know why? I'm telling you, that place is anointed. There's not a Chick-fil-A that's lacking for cars wrapped around the building. But guess what? On Sunday, they're closed. And I promise you, what was the president's name? I can't remember his name. Yeah, that's it. I promise you, he made a word decision and God has honored him for it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your own decisions or understandings. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he will direct thy steps. He knows, he cares, he loves, he's got a plan, he's got a purpose. Make a decision based on the word of God. If there's anything in the word of God and you decide contrary, then you're in bad. There's going to be consequences. Can a man take fire in his bosom and not be burned? I promise you, if you make any decision contrary to the word of the Lord. Now, you can make a decision contrary to Pastor Ricky or Pastor Jerry or Pastor Taylor, but you cannot make a decision contrary to the word and survive. Say amen, somebody. I've had so many people over the years, well, I just love this person and I feel like God understands. No, God doesn't understand. He's already told you, thou shalt not commit adultery. You ain't heard that kind of holiness preaching in a long time, I tell you. Not, you have here, but in other places you haven't. So number one, make a word decision. Number two, to make right choices, seek advice and counsel from many. Proverbs 11 and 14, where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Many advisors make victory sure. Proverbs 11 and 14. Proverbs 19 and 20, listen to advice and accept instruction. Listen to advice and accept instruction. In the end, you know, there's some people, they don't ask for advice because they quite literally think they don't need anybody's advice. How arrogant is that? And, you know, as we get older, I'm going to say something with all respect to all of us who are getting older. But sometimes as we get older, we can kind of get set in our ways. And, you know, but the older I get, the more counsel and more advice that I need. Say amen. And by the way, don't just ask your friends for advice. Because your friends are a lot of times just going to tell you what you want to hear. You need to ask people who are older. Ask people who are wiser. Ask people more experienced. Ask people who are deeper in the Lord, who have a close walk with God. Ask people to be honest. And also ask people who've made the wrong decisions. Amen? So when you're trying to make right decisions, number one, make a word decision based on the word of God. Number two, ask advice and seek counsel. Number three, when you're trying to make the right decision, learn all the facts that you can. Don't make a decision on half facts. The Bible says in Proverbs, get the facts at any price. This is out of the Living Bible. Proverbs 23 and 23, get the facts at any price and hold on tightly to all the good sense you can get. When you're hiring somebody for your business, check references. Get the facts on what they're doing. Amen? Don't study. The Bible says study to show yourself approved unto God. When you're making very important decisions on going to college, on buying a house, when you're making a decision on a church to attend, or what I should do or what I should not do, get all the facts. Don't just base it on half information or based on what somebody says on TV. And don't go by one word of prophecy. Amen. Everything in my life, this is for another sermon another day, but I don't believe we should ever ask God for signs. In fact, the Bible says an evil and adulterous generation seeks after signs. You got people seeking for signs, signs, signs. I believe in signs and I believe God can do signs, but I will tell you what God will honor is confirmation. There's a difference between a confirmation and a sign. A sign is what Gideon did. Lord, I put a fleece out and you make the ground wet and the towel dry. I'll know it's from you. Well, guess what? The sign came and he still didn't believe it. You make the ground wet, the towel dry and the ground dry. And then I believe it's you. And he still had a hard time. So the Bible says out of the mouth of two or three witnesses shall everything be what? And when I'm seeking the Lord in my life, and it's an important decision, and I might get a word of prophecy, or I might get some confirmation, yes, or even no, I just let it hang. And if it's of God, there'll be another confirmation. And then by the time that third confirmation comes around, brother, I know I can move forward and make a good decision. Amen. You talking about, should I quit my job? Well, let's just pray about it, because, yeah, you can quit. Amen. But unless you're doing better than I am, you got to pay the light bill. Amen. Well, the church will pay my light bill. No, we're not obligated to pay nobody's light bill who can work. Come on now. Uh-oh, let me move on quick. Of course we'll help out. Of course the church is there. But friend, you get a confirmation, you know what? I might need to change jobs. Then something else will happen. I think it's looking that way. And then the third confirmation, then do it right, do it properly, and do it wise. Learn the facts. Get confirmation. Everything that glitters is not gold. If somebody prophesies over you and says, quit your job and go to Africa, you better wait for a couple more confirmations. Can I get a witness out there? Amen, somebody. And then, I'm coming to a close. Will y'all agree in prayer with me that I'm about to close? Make it a matter of prayer. Please, Lord, help the pastor to close tonight. Help Pastor Ricky to close. Don't give up when it's difficult. I heard about a teenage boy who was fed up with all the rules of his teacher. So he dropped out of school early. Then he joined the army. That was worse. And the sergeants were barking out orders, and he couldn't wait to be discharged so he could settle down and be free finally. And then he got married. Don't give up when it's difficult. When you're in a difficult situation, there's always that temptation when you're in a difficult marriage, difficult ministry, difficult job, difficult family situation. There's always that, I just want to leave. I just want to flee. Let God move you. And don't just give up when it's difficult, because sometimes the difficulty, I could tell you, read this daily devotional. I've read Charles Stanley. I've read Tozer. I've read, as far as daily devotions, I've read Oswald Chambers and different ones. But the one that speaks to me the most is The Streams in the Desert. That devotion. Go find it, download it, and you read it once a day. And I promise you, it'll help you through the difficulties of life. Amen, somebody. Another thing, when you're making a decision, is you need to factor the impact that it's going to have on others. How is this decision going to affect my children? How's it going to affect my church? How's it going to affect my soul? And then rely on the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's the five ways to make a decision. That's a whole sermon series right there. Make a decision on the Word. Say amen. Seek advice and counsel. Say amen. Learn the facts. Say amen. Don't give up when it's difficult. Say amen. Factor in the impact of this decision on others. Say amen. And then finally, rely on the leading of the Holy Spirit. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. I love what James chapter 1, verse 5 in the Living Bible says. If you want to know what God wants you to do, ask Him, and He will gladly tell you. The King James says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. I like this, the Living Bible. If you want to know what God wants you to do, ask Him, and He will gladly tell you. For He's always ready to give a bountiful supply of wisdom to all who will ask. He will not resent it. Would you stand with me tonight? I've had choices since the day I was born. There were voices that told me right from wrong. If I'd have listened, no, I wouldn't be here today, because I'm living and dying with the choices that I made. This is George Jones's words. Brother Philip, you'll have to ask how George Jones got in this sermon. I know your flags are up. I know. I can tell. I told about it earlier. I was tempted by an early age I found. I liked drinking. Oh, I never turned it down. There were loved ones, but I turned them all away. Now I'm living and dying with the choices that I've made. Here's the chorus. I've had choices since the day I was born. There were voices that told me right from wrong. If I'd have listened, no, I wouldn't be here today, living and dying with the choices I made. I guess I'm paying for the things I've done. If I could go back, oh Lord, I know I'd run. But I'm still losing this game of life I play, because I'm living and dying with the choices that I made. Father, we choose to serve the Lord tonight. I choose. Say that with me, church. I choose faith. I choose love. I choose to wait on the Lord. I choose to wait for confirmation. I choose to gather the facts. I choose to trust in the Lord. With a lift your hand up tonight and make a choice to worship and make a choice to praise through the difficulty and through the pain and through the misunderstanding. I choose to serve Him. Young people, listen to me tonight. Young people, listen to me. The greatest choice that you'll ever make is the choice to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. So would you bow your heads tonight? And Father, Pastor, if you'll come as well, I'm going to play the piano. But Father, we come tonight and we ask you, Lord, to help somebody make the right choice. If you don't know Jesus, then tonight, God, help us to make that choice to know you, Father. He is Lord. You got to choose. Oh, he is Lord. He has risen from the dead. And he is Lord. You tonight, Lord.
Jesus Christ is Lord.
Can you, if you choose Jesus, lift your hands tonight. I choose you, Lord.
For He's my Lord.
Hallelujah.
He's my Lord.
I made that decision.
He has risen.
Oh, he's risen.
From the dead. And he is Lord.
Oh, we choose, Lord. I choose.
Oh, every knee shall bow. Every
George Jones had a song about